councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
It is a big idea. A new world order.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists.
I also believe a lot of gun owners would agree that AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.
Guns will be taken. No one will be able to be armed. We're going to take all guns.
For many of the police and guard troops, it is an uncomfortable job to do this in an American city.
Is global governance at last? Is it one world? The central bankers in charge? But aren't we all just living and dying for what the central banks do?
As for me, give me liberty or give me death!
The answer to 1984 is 1776.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Aaron Dykes. Today is Friday, January 11th, 2013.
Tonight, Illinois governor wants gold registration as the control freak and revenge-hungry government wants to audit gold sales. Meanwhile, China is becoming the world's largest prepper. What are you doing to get your house in order? Then, British host Piers Morgan calls the U.S. Constitution your little book.
You come in, you brandish your little book as if I don't know
my little book. That's the Constitution of the United States. Our founding.
Plus, secrets of World War Z leaked and Operation Gladio, the Cold War era black op, continues. That's up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
I want to know where the gold's at. That's the Illinois government talking as they propose a new gold registration bill, and it has yet to be introduced, but it closely follows their attempt to have guns outlawed and for people to register outlawed firearms so they can grandfather them in, all part of big government's control freak nature, especially in places like Illinois and the other mega urban centers. Now, Illinois already passed a bill earlier in 2012, the Precious Metal Purchasing Act, SB 3341, that states a person who's in the business of purchasing precious metal shall obtain a proof of ownership, create a record of sale, and verify the identity of the seller. Provides a person who is in the business of purchasing precious metal shall not pay for the precious metal in cash and shall record the method of payment. Overall, they're trying to do away with cash actions, make sure government has its little finger in all the pies. And of course, people like FDR already banned the gold in this country back in 1933, so these moves are not unprecedented. We just know they head towards tyranny, so not a good sign. They're trying to ban guns and gold, anything else that could be construed to be connected with freedom. Meanwhile, Rick Perry, governor here in Texas, has called Governor Cuomo's gun ban unconstitutional. He pretty much says that they can do it, they can try to pass it, but it will be challenged in courts. That's Rick Perry, of course, who talks the talk but doesn't always walk the walk, as he's worked with fascist private partnerships here in Texas to establish by stealth these toll roads, the Trans-Texas Corridor, all part of the NAFTA superhighway. Never turn your back on a politician. It's not always the weapon. It's the intent of the person holding the weapon, although it is nice to hear the rhetoric from him, sometimes challenging the feds, but he's clearly not trustworthy. Now, this interesting, Piers Morgan has stuck his foot in his mouth yet again. The British host calls the U.S. Constitution, quote, your little book. And they had on Ben Shapiro from Breitbart.com, who whipped out a constitution, and Piers Morgan began to belittle it in his tirade. part of the transcript is you come in, you brandish your little book as if I don't know what's in there. My little book, Shapiro said, that's the Constitution of the United States. It's our founding document, Piers, and goes on to later say, why do you need these weapons, Morgan asks. Shapiro says they need them for the prospective possibility of resistance to tyranny, which is not a concern today. Maybe not even a concern tomorrow. Morgan says, where do you expect the tyranny to come from? Shapiro says it could come from the United States because governments have gone tyrannical before, Piers. He says, do you know how absurd you sound? You sound absurd, Morgan. Clearly you don't know history. You don't have history on your side. You have no grasp of it. People like George W. Bush have already called the Constitution, quote, just a goddamn piece of paper. And you really have to choose what your little book is going to be, Piers Morgan. Is yours the little red book of Chairman Mao? I am going to go with my little book being the Constitution. And what's wrong with these books being little anyway? I don't want to live by the Patriot Act or the Health Care Act or all the other tyrannical bills that are thousands of pages long that our so-called lawmakers don't even read before voting upon. No, I'll stick with the Constitution and Bill of Rights, thank you, because they were set up to protect individual freedoms, to try to buffer tyrannical government, knowing that maybe not all men, but some men, when put in power, will always go bad because power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. That's why the founders attempted to set up separation of powers, checks and balances, and the final check and balance rests with the people themselves who created the government. The government's a contract, Piers Morgan. It's not our little mother. It's not our God. It wasn't set up that way. And if they go tyrannical, as they did a long time ago, frankly, we need to warn them. We need to warn them again and check them. Look to nature. Look to the history of the founding of America. It's common sense. It's God-given rights. The Constitution and Bill of Rights are put in place to enumerate them. Let's cue up that Gadsden flag. But the right itself comes from God. It comes from nature. Self-defense is a natural action. They can vote away the Second Amendment. They can eradicate the language. But even a rattlesnake will warn you, but don't approach him because he has venom. He will get to you. A hedgehog is a very peaceful creature, and yet he has his own self-defense mechanisms. It's a natural thing to defend yourself, to try to ward off those who would attack you, those who would try to prey on you, and we cannot overlook government because governments are not our friends. We know that people always aspire towards power. That's why they try to set up limited government. Just look at that footage. Cute little hedgehog, but don't mess with him. He's got spikes, and we need to send that message here in America, too. That's why the founders established the Gadsden flag as a symbol of the revolution, said, we're not going to go after you. We're not going to do anything. But if you come tread on us, don't tread on us because we have venom. We're going to shake our rattle and warn you not to come mess with this. That's what the Second Amendment is. It's a warning. Don't come tread on me. But if you do tread on me, yeah, we're waiting for you. And you look more into nature, even the amoeba, even the little single-celled organisms have flagellas. They have their own means of self-defense, their own means of capturing prey. Again, it's natural. It's a God-given mechanism. It's natural for creatures to use whatever they can to try to defend themselves. And us as humans have the ability to use tools and apply them. Let's keep going with that amoeba footage because you see that Feinstein, Obama, Biden, they want us to be lower than amoebas. They want us to give up our self-defense and just lay down to government and whatever's done to us. Let's just take it. Let's not even try to defend ourselves, not even try to run away as other single-celled organisms would do if they didn't have the superior weapons. No, just sit there and take it. That's the message from these globalists. You remember Bill Clinton back in 1994 said our rights as Americans were radical. It was this radical experiment, and basically we have to rein in government and take reasonable measures like gun control. Just crazy. As these hypocrites not only already have armed guards and Secret Service protection, but extend that protection. There's been a law on the books for a while limiting Secret Service protection to presidents to 10 years after their terms. Now Obama has given himself armed protection for life, but none of the slaves in America can afford to have armed guards. Maybe the rich celebrities who are also calling for gun control, maybe those in Congress making money off insider deals can afford to hire guys in suits with guns to protect them. But you, the American, don't deserve to protect yourself. That's the message being sent here. So just really more sign of hypocrisy. And of course, the president should be protected. No one better ever even think about laying a hand on a president. president because then they'll win. No, we want to beat them in the info war. We want to discredit their arguments and show how self-defense is our right. You can't take it away from us. Obama also, of course, opposed the gun ban exception in Illinois, voting that even if you use a gun in self-defense for an intruder, an attempted rapist, an attempted murderer, that you should still be punished. They seize upon the case where the guy was made to pay a $750 fine even after using a gun against an intruder. Just absurd. And Obama's got a long history of voting against the Second Amendment. But this particular vote goes back to 2004. He's also got surveys when he was state senator and running for office dating back to at least 1996, where he answers absolutely yes to any and all proposed forms of gun legislation, gun control, and he's tried to obfuscate that. His aides have tried to make excuses, but we know Obama's on the record against the Second Amendment. And so here's a series of clips that Ja'Kari Jackson rounded up demonstrating that hypocrisy, how people under armed guard are calling for our disarmament.
Gun violence has been on a rampage, as we know firsthand and we know painfully.
A man who had been fired from his job about a year or so began shooting near the Empire State Building, but out on the street. He killed one person and at least nine other people were shot, and some may have been shot accidentally by police officers.
Because frankly, in my hometown of Chicago, there's an awful lot of violence, and they're not using AK-47s, they're using cheap handguns. And so what can we do to intervene?
When he turned the door handle, I shot toward him with my mom's gun, and it hit him right here in the arm.
After she shot Jones in the shoulder, he ran out of the bathroom and through this door.
A comprehensive strategy. Part of it is seeing if we can get automatic weapons that kill folks in amazing numbers.
The assassination attempt on President Ronald Reagan. An agent pulled an Uzi submachine gun out of a briefcase.
We joke sometimes about how, you know, Malia's getting to the age now and boys start calling and you know, sort of, I always talk about how one of the main incentives for running again was continuing Secret Service protections so that they're met with guns around at all times.
We're 30 minutes from law enforcement. We had no way to protect ourselves, and there was anybody around to take care of us. We were our first responders.
Right.
I came up with a plan, and the plan, you know, has been on the news a lot. It's pretty self-explanatory. They have to have a CHL. We approve them.
I guarantee you, Barack Obama ain't taking my shotguns, so don't buy that malarkey. Don't buy that malarkey. They're gonna start peddling that to you. I got two. If he tries to fool my Beretta, he's got a problem. I like that little over and under. You know, I'm not bad with it.
The latest limousine, known as the Beast, thanks to 8-inch thick armor plating, Remington shotguns are close at hand.
I'm the guy that originally wrote the assault weapons ban that became law, and then we got defeated. Then Dianne Feinstein went to town on it and did a great job.
I know the urge to arm yourself because that's what I did. I was trained in firearms. I'd walk to the hospital when my husband was sick. I carried a concealed weapon. I made the determination that if somebody was going to try to take me out, I was going to take them with me.
California Senator Dianne Feinstein worked for more than a year to get the assault weapons bill passed in the face of ferocious opposition from the National Rifle Association. She says she got the best she could.
If I could have gotten 51 votes in the Senate of the United States for an outright ban, picking up every one of them, Mr. and Mrs. America, turn them all in, I would have done it.
One thing that I think is clear with young people and with adults as well is that we just have to be repetitive about this. It's not enough to simply have a catchy ad on a Monday and then only do it every Monday. We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
The Justice Department is basically guilty of allowing weapons to kill Americans and Mexicans. So will you agree to cooperate with that investigation both on the House and Senate side?
We'll certainly cooperate with all the investigations, but I'm going to take great exception to what you just said. The notion that somehow or other this Justice Department is responsible for those deaths that you mentioned, that assertion is offensive. And I want to tell you that
But what if it's accurate, Mr. Attorney General?
At any rate, the flurry of drone strikes sets the stage for U.S. escalation in Pakistan in 2013. Jason Ditz at antiwar.com highlights how, even though there's a very brief decline in drone strikes in 2012, we're off to a bang in 2013 with at least 40 known drone victims in the first 10 days of 2013 here in January. And of those 40 drone victims, who they call suspects, only one of those 40 have been named, Malvi Nazir. Everyone else is just collateral damage, bystanders killed, and we know about all the terrible cases where wedding parties are mowed down with drones, where people who come to aid those who've already been attacked by drones are then subsequently attacked by drones. And of course, we have pointed out the powerful but disturbing hypocrisy of how Obama and the others will shed tears over the children here at home, but could care less about the children they're killing by drone strikes and the continued war on terrorism. Now, we're turning now to a special video presentation. Our editor, Rob Jacobson, worked with Alex Jones. They listened to the audiobook. They analyzed the book World War Z, Z for Zombie. It's kind of the alpha omega of world wars, where really, in my view, zombie is a metaphor for the dehumanization of people. They're saying that people have become worthless, essentially, and here's this great takeover of zombies, and the only mechanism, love it or hate it, that can save us is the United Nations. And throughout the book, the United Nations is this reluctant hero as populations learn to be subservient to them. And the only holdouts, the real Americans who flee to the mountains and try not to join with the United Nations, are portrayed as becoming cannibals, essentially worse than just zombies, worse than the United Nations, of course. And I've seen the trailer for this Brad Pitt film. They show them removing America's founding documents, walking them out under escort, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, really sending the self-conscious message, subconscious message, that our time as Americans is over, that our system of government is no longer somehow valid. Without further ado, let's go to that powerful special report right now, World War Z.
The secrets of World War Z leaked. What is the message behind World War Z? We're going to leak those secrets right now. The core of the book is a UN plan developed to use survivors as bait to lure in the zombies so they can be exterminated. The number one enemy in this disgusting pro-genocide anti-human publication is that humans that have not submitted to communism and the United Nations are undesirables that are worse than the zombies. As the globalists prepare the worldwide collapse, they must condition the public that humanity is ugly and needs to be killed. Those of you lucky enough to be behind the compact cities shouldn't complain and should do any Marxist job you're told. After all, only that can defeat the zombies. World War Z is a regurgitation of the same message we've been hammered with our whole lives. The UN is the planet's savior. Humanity is the world's enemy. Only world government will save you from the disgusting zombie filth that is humanity. The globalists have publicly bragged that they engineered World War I and World War II to create the League of Nations and UN and to begin the destruction of the nation state. So if World War I and World War II were wars against the nation state and national sovereignty, World War Z is a psychological warfare simulation declaring war on humanity itself, with humanity as the enemy and the UN as the savior. Let's talk about Brad Pitt, who was in a bidding war with Leonardo DiCaprio over the book World War Z. We've analyzed it, and I can say unequivocally, this is a manifesto of United Nations worldwide genocide against nation states and individuals. It is a declaration of war and a sacrament to planetary bloodlust and the New World Order's wish to reduce world population. In brief synopsis, the book begins with the disintegration of the world's civilizations by an outbreak of zombies. and the world transforming itself under UN leadership as a single international union to save humanity under Marxism and the extermination of all American gun owners. From the book World War Z. That's when the UN multinational force was created, and we were pleasantly surprised by how many people signed up in the first week. The biggest enemy for this communist UN takeover are domestic secessionists of the United States. The Rebs only welcomed you with gunshots. The brass had special units for Rebs. I saw them on the road once crossing the Black Hills. That was the first time since the Rockies that I ever saw tanks. Bad feeling. You knew how it was going to end. The ultimate crime is owning a gun, not under UN control. Those that submit and turn in their firearms are called Robinson Crusoes and are given a nice job at the forced labor camp. The body armor was for protection against some of the regular people we found. I'm not talking organized rebels, just the odd LMOE, or last man on earth. Some dude or chick that managed to survive. Most of the time we managed to talk them down. Those we called RCs or Robinson Crusoes. That was the polite term for the ones who were cool. If the UN concludes that you are not a communist socialist, you are used as bait to lure in zombies because you are the number one enemy. Before you can be used as slave labor, you must submit to re-education camps. They actually call them re-education camps. From the book, this was the National Re-Education Act. I'd say it was the largest jobs training program since the Second World War and easily the most radical in art history. This is a way to roll out authoritarianism and make it sexy and fun and condition the public that this type of mass murder is okay. This film talks about, man, my dad was smart. He loved Marxism. And now that we've got Marxism under the UN, it's so great. Yeah, we put people in labor camps. Yeah, we put them in re-education camps. He used methods that were almost Marxist, the kind of collectivization that would make Ayn Rand leap from her grave and join the ranks of the living dead. I've always rejected the wisdom he tried to impart, running as far away as Wall Street to shut it out. Now I'm racking my brain to remember it. And if they didn't do what they were told, they were killed. God, there's such a beauty to that. Yeah, I guess if you're a dirtbag psychopath or somebody worth hundreds of millions of dollars like Brad Pitt, who's married to that angel of death, who's bragged she loves death and evil, Angelina Jolie, who travels the world to hype up NATO invasions and Al-Qaeda invasions of free countries, where they line up blacks by the tens of thousands like Libya and kill them, or where they attack Syria for 22-plus months and engage in all sorts of evil. And there she is saying, it's humanitarian, kill them, kill them, when she's not making an Illuminati Tomb Raider film. After all, they're all just Arab zombies, just like in this movie, trying to get over the Israeli wall. Anyone that's infected with the virus, black vans come around and snatch and grab you and throw you in them to take you away and kill you. So it is pure conditioning for snatch and grab. It is pure operant conditioning and preparation to get the public ready for unbelievable evil. And you're told you will serve the megastate. You will serve the greater collective of the Supreme UN Soviet, or you will die. Quoting the book World War Z, the Rebs, on the other hand, armed, organized political secessionists. They were easily our most tangible danger. He would say in private, these must be eliminated swiftly, decisively, and by any means necessary. These were the enemies of our country, the domestic ones. A floating UN command center off the coast of Hawaii, consisting of 72 delegates, controls the fate of the world. Nation states are the problem. The UN's got the answers. I know I caught a lot of flack for going UN instead of making it an all-American crusade, but to be totally honest, I really couldn't give a damn. Throughout history, militaries and cultures have demonized their enemies and said that they're not human. Now the whole of humanity is being taught that we're worthless, that we're garbage, that we're ugly. Part of the UN's Agenda 21 is to teach us that humans are bad for the Earth and that the world would be a better place without us, that we are ugly parasites. I covered it in my film, Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, where the elite openly talk about how they're going to set up a police state surveillance control grid worldwide to carry out the orderly extermination of 90% of the world's population, with the United Nations as the prime organizer and NATO as the physical enforcer. And in all these documents, they talk about releasing or allowing the release of weaponized mousepox and other pathogens like airborne Ebola that will take out more than 90% of the people that come in contact with it. And during an event like that, you're going to see civilization level collapse. And so the ruling class worldwide is setting up seed vaults, underground bunkers, putting trillions of dollars in the aggregate of taxpayer money in Europe and the United States, Australia, New Zealand, other Western countries, into building incredibly resilient, heavily armed, underground shadow government systems. And I said a decade ago, this zombie fascination was being pushed to dehumanize us and get us ready with kind of a racial memory ahead of the fact so that we will accept as prophecy at a subconscious level, the mass culling of humanity. Films like World War Z are meant to program people that they're lucky to serve as slaves of the UN and not be exterminated once these bioweapons are released. And the zombie archetype is just a cover to demonize and dehumanize anyone who's even suspected of being infected of bioweapons plagues the globalists are publicly preparing to release on the planet. You see, for the New World Order, world government is just the beginning. Once that panopticon surveillance control grid is in place, the mass extermination begins. Hollywood has more apocalyptic visions planned out for years to come. Steven Spielberg just started shooting Robopocalypse, scheduled to be released in April of 2014. Here, a deadly supercomputer concludes that human beings are too much of a threat to life on Earth. In an attempt to save all non-human life on the planet, Arcos, the supercomputer, decides to eliminate the human race with just a few human specimens to be left alive. Sounds like the eugenicists programmed this computer. This is how they introduce these sick ideas to the population, through fiction. It's the same thing that Hitler did. It's the same thing the Soviets did. It is beyond monstrous. This is undoubtedly a globalist propaganda production. Oh, isn't that cute? The Australian Prime Minister's tongue-in-cheek zombie apocalypse warning. Right as the megabank shine the world and their peoples on to 1.5 quadrillion, right as they shut off the power plants and cut off the oil. Go look at it for yourself. The CDC and Homeland Security online describes people who get sick during a pandemic as zombies, and they show the U.S. Army in America mowing down American citizens. How would they ever introduce something like that to the public? There'd be a revolt. But if they do it like, hey, get ready for zombies, we're going to have to mow some people down. You better get the vaccine, they say in here, or you're going to get killed by the army. How would the government ever present the army and the police mowing people down the street? Oh, they didn't get their flu shot, so they're zombies, and they have to be killed. And then meanwhile, we have all over the United States and in other nations, the military training in martial law, civil unrest drills in major cities, and the combatants that don't want to give in to the UN takeover, why, they're not even human. They're zombies. So when the troops practice mowing down U.S. citizens wearing football jerseys, well, they've got some makeup on, some green makeup and some slime, so they weren't really human. So the next time the troops actually pull the trigger on real citizens during the engineered collapse, well, they were zombies anyway. They're teaching people that ancient thing that tyrants and corrupt militaries have done of dehumanizing their enemy before they kill them. The same thing was done by the Soviets in Poland and in Ukraine, where they killed tens of millions. They said, these people are animals. The Nazis said the Jews and others weren't human. The communist Chinese said the same thing about the shop owners they forcibly collectivized and put in slave labor camps. You are a fool if you don't understand that the New World Order does not want you to be in the future. They want the planet's resources for themselves. They want the hard work and the scientific developments that free humanity has developed to be their spoils. They want you dead. And people like Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie are nothing but propagandists shelling the population on mass genocide and megadeth. World War Z is a declaration of war against free humanity. I'm Alex Jones. You have been warned. And if you are watching this transmission, remember, you are the resistance.
And, of course, these Hollywood movies are always filled with propaganda, but it's particularly blatant in this case of World War Z, where the United Nations is particularly portrayed as the ultimate force. Now, China has been preparing for what is up for debate, but clearly preparing, digging in, hardening, taking measured preparations, and we'd better pay attention to that because we know they've been predicted by our own government, by our own military, and by China themselves as a future enemy. The United Nations agricultural experts have reported confusion after showing that China has imported 2.6 million tons of rice in 2012, even though there's no apparent shortage of rice. And further, why would they be stockpiling not only rice, but all kinds of different food stocks, baby formulas, I'm sure military preparations as well. We'd better pay attention and not listen to them telling us to be American jellyfish and just lay down, telling us to turn in our guns. No, we'd better maintain our independence as best we can. We don't want to pick a fight with China, with our own government, but we'd better stand our ground and not let them just basically set us up to be destroyed in whatever the next world war is. Will it be zombies? Probably not literally. That's obviously just conditioning that's been used by the CDC, our own government, and the Hollywood propaganda system. But we need to be prepared for the fact that they're looking for conflict worldwide with foreign enemies, with the people, and it's just disgusting. Meanwhile, they've been continuing to seize upon any and all tragedies they can to hammer home, to beat you over the head, to brainwash you on television that you must somehow turn in your guns. New Hampton police may now use statements in a high school threat investigation that came just days after the shooting in Newtown, Connecticut. It was a threatening note from a student. One of the high school students had left in the bathroom 5 days after the gunman killed 20 students. He was asked to write a statement in reference to the threat, acknowledging that they take matters seriously and share the concern of police and school administrators. Of course, there was the shooting in Bakersfield, and whatever else happens, whether by coincidence or someone's ill design, they will clearly seize upon. They will wait and wait and wait to seize upon any and all events that supposedly build their case until somehow we're told to accept this gun control. I say no to it. We're not going to be brainwashed. We know what the overall statistics are on guns. Even the Clinton Justice Department admitted that 1.5 million crimes are prevented per year by gun owners. Gun Owners of America and NRA estimate it much higher at 2.5 million crimes deterred and 2 million crimes deterred, respectively. Just also want to mention the DVD we sell, Nullification, the Rightful Remedy. The counter to all this gun control measures is something we've seen popping up recently. Sure, it's small beginnings right now, but we've seen the police chief in the small town in Pennsylvania say he's going to introduce the Second Amendment preservation ordinance to say, no, we won't enforce any gun control in our town. We've seen the state of Wyoming introduce legislation. Other states are beginning to introduce that legislation as well, and we need to encourage lawmakers and officials at the city level, the local level, the county level, the state level to say no to the feds, to remind them that the Second Amendment is a a guaranteed constitutional right. It's above the Constitution and Bill of Rights. It's a God-given right, but it's especially guaranteed that it shall not be infringed. And if we say no at enough levels of our government, we can get them to back off, and we have that right under the Second Amendment. This is my little book. What's your little book? I hope it's not Chairman Mao's book of red quotations. Turning now to our quote of the day, it comes from Bill Clinton. He, of course, introduced the assault weapons ban, made it law for 10 years. They unfortunately had to put in the sunset provisions, unfortunate that is, for the gun grabbers, but that's why they're back around to try to get not only the assault weapons ban, but much more introduced. But here's Bill Clinton's very alarming statement from 1994 when he was on MTV to brainwash the youth culture that enough is enough. When we got organized as a country and we wrote a fairly radical constitution with a radical Bill of Rights, giving a radical amount of individual freedom to Americans, a lot of people say there's too much personal freedom. He goes on to say, when personal freedom's being abused, you have to move to limit it. That's what we did in the announcement I made last weekend on the public housing projects about how we're going to have weapon sweeps and more things like that to try to make people safer in their communities. These globalists who've been put into power, both parties, have a disdain for the Constitution. Again, George W. Bush called it a GD piece of paper. You've seen how Obama and Clinton view our Bill of Rights and Constitution, our right to keep and bear arms. They think our rights to freedom as Americans under the Constitution is, quote, radical, and that we need a, quote, change. I say we need to give them a fight in the InfoWar. Thanks for watching. We'll be back after this. Darren McBreen has powerful information on Operation Gladio that the CIA and other black op factions carried out in Italy decades ago. Is the same kind of strategy being played out in America to get us to turn in our guns, creating events, creating a wave of terror? You find out. You be the judge. We'll be back after this.
Coming up next, Operation Gladio, the Cold War era black op orchestrated by the CIA, targeting innocent civilians throughout Europe to get them to relinquish their liberties. And InfoWars guest Richard Cottrell reveals that the Gladio technique of undermining the state from within is far from over. That's up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
I really enjoy it when the globalists try to poison us, and, we resist them via a free market system. Hello, my fellow InfoWarriors. Alex Jones here, introducing you to the ProPure family of gravity-fed filters. Now, you know that the globalists are filling our water with radioactive isotopes, fluoride, lead, mercury, arsenic. And one of the few systems that can efficiently and economically remove or reduce down to non-detectable levels these poisons are gravity-fed filters. And ProPure is the top of the line. Their filters are impregnated with silver, a natural antibiotic. On top of that, they're bigger, so they filter faster. You don't have to prime these the first time you use them. It's amazing. Go to InfoWars.com and click on the shopping cart link to see the entire family of these babies. Now, the fluoride they add to our water is so tiny that most filters can't cut it out. But ProPure has their system that will, again, reduce it to non-detectable levels, almost get all of it out of there. That's also available. And if you look at the different systems they offer, the ProPure Big Brush Finish is on a stand, so it's easier on a table or at your restaurant or wherever you have it to go up with a glass or a mug and fill it up. Then there's this big baby right here, the ProPure King Large Version. Got a lot of different options that come with it. Also, they have the ProPure Big, probably one of the best values out there. And of course, it's burnished stainless steel. And then what I use on my RV, something that's great for your hunting cabin or the back porch, is the ProPure Traveler. Small and portable, but packs a huge punch, cleans out all that garbage. They also have a glass sight spigot, so you don't have to take the top off and look in the bottom area to see how much water. You can see how fast it's filtering with this optional system. The globalists obviously are hitting us through our water. It's time to take control of our lives. It's time to not give our children and families these poisons. And these systems cut it down to non-detectable levels across the board. ProPure is the name. I only promote what I believe in. And I use ProPure in my home and my office. And I recommend that you check out the information on ProPure at InfoWars.com. We already have the lowest price at InfoWars.com on the ProPure gravity filter system. But when you add in the 10% off when InfoWarriors use the product code WATER at InfoWars.com, nobody can top it. So again, it's a win-win-win. Stop drinking the poison water. Checkmate the globalists when it comes to your health, and support InfoWars.com and the work we're doing here. You know, many revolutionaries rob banks and things and kidnap people for funds. We promote in the free market the products we use that are about preparedness. That's how we fund this revolution against the New World Order in our move to restore our constitutional republic and a spirit of 1776 worldwide. Check it out at InfoWars.com. ProPure, top of the line, number one, most powerful and effective and economical gravity-fed water system in the world. ProPure, available, discounted at InfoWars.com. Don't forget product code WATER to save 10%. It's the latest generation, years in development. ProPure is the name. Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity products. Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition. Didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals, but the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss. I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com, sign up as a distributor, and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com.
In 1953, the CIA and British intelligence staged terror attacks to overthrow the democratically elected leader of Iran, Mohammad Mossadegh. Mossadegh had nationalized Iran's oil fields and denied British Petroleum a monopoly. U.S. and British intelligence operatives launched a successful coup d'etat and overthrew the Iranian government, replacing the regime with a ruthless dictatorship while seizing control of Iran's oil supply. 1964. U.S. warships were apparently attacked by North Vietnamese PT boats, an incident that kicked off the U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War. The attack was a staged event that never actually took place. What followed was an excuse by President Lyndon Johnson to dramatically expand the scale of the Vietnam War, ultimately at the cost of 3 or 4 million dead Vietnamese and 58,000 Americans. June 8, 1967. The USS Liberty, an American naval vessel sailing off the coast of Gaza, was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of Israel. The well-coordinated attack, which lasted for hours, resulted in the deaths of 34 crewmen, 170 injured, and catastrophic damage to the ship, one of the most highly decorated vessels in U.S. history. Egypt was to be blamed for the attack, to serve as a pretext to drag the U.S. and her allies into war in the Middle East. If not for the heroic efforts of the ship's captain and his brave crew, the Liberty would have faced almost certain destruction. The truth about Israel's attack and subsequent White House cover-up continues to be officially concealed from the American people to this day.
Tonight, we are going to take a look at the role of the Central Intelligence Agency in sponsoring false flag operations. In particular, we will be examining Operation Gladio, a Cold War-era black op orchestrated by the CIA, who launched terrorist attacks in Italy and throughout Europe in order to blame leftist communists. The chosen targets were usually public places in order to create maximum impact. Bombs were planted in banks, in railway stations, and trains, and snipers fired at will into innocent crowds of peaceful protesters or weekend shoppers simply out buying groceries. It was a slaughter of the innocents, and the United States, working through the CIA and secret war departments of NATO, carried out a long series of false flag terror attacks throughout the European continent to meet its own political ends. And with us now to help break this all down is a proficient expert in Operation Gladio, Richard Cottrell. He is a veteran European television journalist who specializes in politics and economics. He is a regular contributor to the National ITV Network and the author of Gladio, NATO's Dagger at the Heart of Europe, the Pentagon, Nazi Mafia Terror Axis. And he joins us now from just outside of Venice, Italy. Richard Cottrell, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much indeed.
Hey, right out of the gate, let's start out with the evidence that we have that supports that Operation Gladio actually existed, because unfortunately in America, a lot of people are going to take one glimpse at Gladio and immediately dismiss it as a crazy conspiracy theory. So what kind of evidence do we have that supports that Gladio did indeed exist?
Well, solid and documentary evidence, actually. First of all, we must explain that the secret army units, which became known as Gladio, took their title from a secret army unit which was established in Italy. All these organizations were set up by the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. And the original idea was that these would be sleeping soldiers who, in the event of a Soviet invasion of Western Europe, would lurk behind, nourished by secret arms dumps where they could cause havoc among the invading Soviet troops. This was an idea of Churchill's, actually, which dates a long way back to the Boer War, which he covered as a correspondent for London newspapers. But it was revived both during the war and after the war as a way of resisting invaders from the East. So we know perfectly well from many books other than those written by me that the Gladio secret army organizations were real, that they were established by NATO with the encouragement of Western intelligence agencies, including, as you just mentioned, the CIA, but also the intelligence agencies of every single member state of NATO, and even some countries which were not members of NATO, such as Switzerland and Sweden, who were actually ghost members of the alliance. And that's another story in itself. So there's no real dispute that these organizations existed. What actually happened was a warp in their activities. There was a problem, because the United States of America, particularly supported by the United Kingdom and some other countries, wanted the Cold War to continue. They wanted to create the mirage of a terrorist threat inspired by Moscow in Western Europe in order to justify massive arms spending. And you won't have to look very far beyond the American military-industrial complex.
Well, I was just going to say, this reminds me of Ike's farewell address to the nation, where he warned of the impending military-industrial complex. So do you think this was a direct result of that? Because it looks like it started out with good intentions. I mean, I see nothing wrong with, leave behind NATO's stay-behind armies in case of a total invasion by the Soviet Union. So where did they go wrong? Was it the infiltration by the CIA and the military-industrial complex? Is that where it started to go south?
I think you've got to ask yourself a question here about General Lyman Lemnitzer. Lemnitzer, who the author of the famous Northwoods Project, was fired by Kennedy, effectively sacked, because, as I state in my book, he looked as though he was sailing pretty close to creating a military coup in Washington to overthrow the government. So Kennedy decided on a constructive dismissal. It was Lemnitzer more than any other figure who was responsible for warping the NATO secret armies into instruments of terror performed against civilians, not against Russian invaders, not against any form of military personnel, but just civilian citizens themselves, walking about the streets, minding their own business, catching trains, drinking beer in the beer fest, whatever. All of this flowed from the warped mind, or possibly the biggest psychopath who's ever ruled over the kingdom of the Pentagon.
Well, and I agree with you, and I think it's important that whenever we discuss Operation Gladio, we have to discuss Operation Northwoods as well, because they're both false flag events. One of them was, you know, Northwoods being a proposed false flag event, but they both have been completely ignored by the mainstream media. I'm going to be labeled as a conspiracy theorist just for bringing it up, but Northwoods, like Gladio, cannot be denied, because the Northwoods document is a live, living, breathing document that exists in the National Security Archive, and it reveals that in 1962, the U.S. Department of Defense signed off on a covert plan to stage terrorist attacks on American soil and blame Cuba. So tell us more about Operation Northwoods for those who might not be familiar with it.
Well, this was March 1962 when Lemnitzer, who wrote the document, sent it to Kennedy's office, actually, with the idea that the Pentagon could stimulate an artificial war against Cuba. In order to do this, he required some kind of sense of alarm, an emergency within the United States itself. So he cooked up the idea of hiring crooks and hoodlums to shoot at Americans going about their everyday business, blow up airliners, attack ships, and generally create the atmosphere of a communist attempt to disturb the peace and serenity of the United States of America. Now, this happened in March 1962, when General Lyman Lemnitzer got to NATO as Supreme Allied Commander, which was a demotion for him and a monstrous insult to his huge personality. He exactly followed the Northwoods program. He transferred it exactly to Europe, and then began what is known in this country as the Anni di Piombo, or more widely, the Years of Lead, which tortured European citizens for the next 20 years. And it was simply a rerun of the Cuban fiasco. In order to justify an invasion of Cuba, he would create terror in the United States. In order to create the unrealistic nonsense of a Russian attempt to invade Europe, he created the machinery which would create mayhem among European citizens and convince them that the Reds were just under the bed. This was the same game. There was no difference. They were a horse and carriage out of the same stable.
Well, I mean, this guy should be known historically as someone every bit as evil as Osama bin Laden, you know. But,
he had a khaki uniform on. That makes a difference.
Absolutely. And I'm curious, is how did Lemnitzer go from Northwoods, which was rejected in America, to Operation Gladio, which was implemented throughout Europe?
Well, a couple of things happened here which were of great importance. JFK, a person I greatly admire, and I certainly confess that freely. I think he was one of the greatest statesmen that America has ever produced.
Well, I agree with you there.
Kennedy was extremely intelligent, and from the moment he came to office, he realized that Lemnitzer was dangerous. He was one of the very few who did. He realized that the Pentagon was out of control. I mean, Arthur Schlesinger has long since said, when he was asked, you know, during the Kennedy years, what was your biggest problem? And he said, we weren't in control of the Joint Chiefs. Yeah, and the Joint Chiefs were headed by Lyman Lemnitzer. There were a couple of books written about that time, which indicated the idea was present in media minds that there were dirty tricks going on in the Pentagon, and there might be a plot to overthrow the the JFK presidency, and possibly go beyond that.
Well, I know. I mean, I was just going to say, you're the only author, and I'm sorry to cut you off, but you're the only author that I know of so far that suspects Lyman Limitzer may have some sort of connection to the JFK assassination, and I think for good reason. I mean, he certainly had the motive, and he fits the profile. What do you think his connection is to the JFK assassination?
I think he organized it.
Wow.
I think he was the mastermind of the entire operation. There's a little bit of interesting background about this. The Pentagon and the CIA had a bad falling out over Zapata, sometimes known as the Bay of Pigs, inaccurately. Lemnitzer displayed his traditional attitude of playing one side against the other. He had fallen out with the CIA for all kinds of reasons, stretching back to Vietnam, and he encouraged them to go into the swamp with the nasty crocodiles and other reptilian creatures waiting for them, so that he could cut the CIA down to size. But then, as soon as he realized that he himself was in difficulty with Kennedy, he patched up the quarrel. And the CIA and the Pentagon, led by Lemnitzer, cooked up the plot to kill Kennedy. I have no doubt of this, and I state it quite clearly in my book. I'm the only person, you correctly say, ever to point this out. But my question is, why has nobody else ever pointed out? This was a man who suffered the huge humiliation of being sacked as the U.S. General Chief of Staff. He was denied his due second term of office. Never happened before. This was a very arrogant and proud man. He was raised to the pinnacles of military success by Eisenhower himself. He owed his entire rise in military circles entirely to the benevolence of Eisenhower. To outrage this man, who considered Kennedy to be not a communist, but certainly a communist sympathizer, was asking for trouble. This was a man who was going to hire hoodlums and criminals to shoot Americans in the street. Who killed Kennedy in Dallas that day? Hoodlums and criminals. Exactly the kind of people that the Pentagon and the CIA has continually worked with over the years.
Well, I agree with you, and Northwoods and Gladio clearly demonstrate his total lack of morality. I mean, he routinely hired the mafia to reach, you know, his objectives. He planned to unleash terror attacks, as you were saying, inside the United States, so he was going to kill innocent civilians so he could have his way with Cuba, an act that probably would have launched the U.S. into World War III with Russia, so who knows how far that would have gone. And look, this guy hired and worked with Nazi war criminals. He orchestrated the assassinations of political leaders, helped install ruthless dictators, you name it. So I guess it's safe to say that he was purely capable of murder the president.
Well, he tried very hard to murder the president of France, General Charles de Gaulle, on at least seven occasions. Some of these predated his appointment as Supreme Commander of Allied Forces Europe. But thereafter, he pulled the plug out trying to kill de Gaulle. And it's really quite miraculous that he didn't actually get away with it in the end. And I don't know why that is, but he failed to kill de Gaulle. But the fact that he wanted to tells us that he would have no compunction at all about killing the United States of America, whom he once described as no kind of war hero, just a patrol boat captain who bobbed about in the sea somewhere.
Wow, unbelievable. And, well, you know, I want to get back to more of the evidence that we have that Gladio did indeed exist. You know, the highest levels of the Italian government, for example, they have gone public admitting that Operation Gladio targeted innocent civilians. November 2nd, 1990, the European Parliament had a resolution condemning the activities of Operation Gladio. Then there's the former Italian intelligence chief. He has come clean concerning Gladio. So, you know, many other countries have also declassified documents. Yeah. So it is part of the public record. The United States government, along with other Western governments, deliberately targeted innocent civilians. They targeted trains, bus stations, schools. They killed innocent children in order to get the public to relinquish their liberties. And, you know, I know this is hard for a lot of people to believe. I wish it wasn't true, but we got to face the facts. We got to deal with it. And what about you, Richard? Do you find that a lot of people have a hard time accepting this?
Oh, absolutely. By the way, you mentioned the European Parliament just now. I'm myself a former member of the European
That's
Parliament.
That's right, yeah.
And I'm coming in for a lot of stick because I was a conservative, and for a conservative European MP to take this approach towards NATO, shall we say, slightly unusual. Yes, I think the problem is that people are closing their minds and they too easily believe that good is good. By this, I mean that the North Atlantic Treaty Organization is like the Salvation Army, you know, or some sort of organization of this kind. The North Atlantic Treaty Organization is an offspring of the military-industrial complex. It needs to survive. In order to survive, it has to manufacture fears and risks. And this is why, this is a point that I want to make fairly quickly now, this is why Gladio, which is a trademark and a brand, is continuing. You know, we're not talking about history here. We're talking about something which is happening, even as we are sitting here having this discussion now. This is what I call Newtonian terrorism. One reaction is intended to cause another equal and opposite reaction. You stage a terrorist event, and so you convince people that it must be real. You know, these people really did blow up the underground trains in London and Madrid and wherever else. But where the real evidence points to the hands of public authorities in this affair.
Well, absolutely.
Pakistanis with some chemicals amounting to little more than fireworks, which they could have bought in Boots the Chemist.
What were some of the worst terrorist attacks that were carried out, you know, the worst terror attacks on record that were carried out by Gladio?
Well, it depends what you mean by worst terrorist attacks. I mean, there were selective assassinations, for example, of Aldo Moro, the former Italian prime minister, who had the temerity to propose a compact between the Christian Democrats and the communists, the so-called historic compromise. He died not long afterwards. He was snatched from his car on the way to Parliament to propose that the Italians should bury the hatchet and try to come together and form some kind of consensus government which would last for the future. He was murdered for this purpose. The so-called Brigati Rosse, the Red Brigades, were blamed for this. It was nothing to do with them at all. This was a crime caused by Western intelligence in cohorts with NATO, with neo-Nazis, and a Roman criminal gang. I don't mean Roman criminal gang of the past. I mean the one that was living around in Rome at that time. And this is very interesting because it once again shows the historiography here that Gladio always will work with extremist organizations, always neo-Nazis, and they have no compunction at all about working with the mafia and criminals.
Well, and we've been showing some video, I've noticed, about the Bologna massacre that occurred on August 2nd, 1980. A bomb went off in the central station of Italy, which, you know, I guess it killed 85 people, wounded more than 200. And it was so horrific that it caused certain members of the Italian officials to break their silence on this and expose the operation. What are some of the more prominent public figures who have come forward to expose this?
Well, I'm sorry to say relatively few.
I can imagine.
Just to speak of Bologna for a moment. This was immediately blamed by Francesco Cossiga, who was the president of Italy at the time, on the Red Brigades. Now, as the president of Italy, he had formerly been one of the founders of the Gladio secret army. This story didn't last 24 hours before it was discovered that the bomb had been planted by a right-wing political force, underground political force, with strong ties to Italian and Western intelligence quarters. And the object of the exercise was, as usual, to terrify Italians with the idea, the notion that the terror was in their midst. It wasn't something distant or far away, but there were evil people surrounding them in their daily lives, who would create awful atrocities of this kind. In fact, it was performed by a bunch of neo-fascists.
Well, again, you know, there's been a total media blackout on this subject in the United States. In fact, you know, I know that the BBC, they produced a documentary about Gladio in the early 1990s never aired in the United States. In fact, we are unable to purchase the DVD. Google even blocked the video on the internet. So, you know, it's very tough to access this information. However, at the same time, you know, word is still getting out. Thankfully for people like you who are writing books about this, other whistleblowers. And the other night, Alex Jones on national television on CNN, the Piers Morgan show, he talked about Gladio on the on CNN. Let's take a look at that clip.
Who do you believe is behind
it? I have the proof. I heard him on CBS radio.
Who, Alex?
They announced they blew up the towers on CBS radio.
Who do you believe?
New Yorkers all saw it and heard it.
Alex, who do you believe?
They blew up Building 7.
Alex, who do you believe was behind it? The American government?
Criminal elements of the military-industrial complex, the same ones that staged Gulf of Tonkin, the same ones that staged Operation, the mass shootings of Operation Gladio.
Right.
Ooh, the CIA don't like this right now.
And, of course, since then, Alex has been subjected to much ridicule and demonization for his comments on CNN. And, you know, that reminds me, you know, what is the political climate like in Europe? Are people able to freely talk about this? Is this an open discussion in the media, or are you experiencing the same blackout there?
Absolutely. Gladio here is something which is widely discussed, particularly in this country, of course, because we hold the copyright on it through the name of the Italian branch of the NATO secret army organization. But you speak of Americans not knowing things. I will tell you something else which is very interesting. We have a real live Ergenekon organization, which is Gladio in Turkey. This is a secret deep state organization, Derin Devlet in Turkish, which has been plotting to overthrow successive Turkish governments for many years now, and quite often succeeding and pulling it off. Now, this organization has been dragged into the public glare as though the wreck of the Titanic had been pulled up from the bottom of the Atlantic and found to be in full working order. It's an exact replica of Gladio. Now, what does this tell us? It tells us that Gladio is active, alive, working, and plotting to this day. It is behind terrorist atrocities which have been performed in Europe not 20, 30, 40 years ago, but which have been performed within, shall we say, minutes in the historical record. This is the important thing to remember. All the time we keep talking about Gladio, something that happened in the past. It's a long time ago. Maybe we should bury it now. It's all forgotten. It's history. It's not. This is an organization or an idea or brand or trademark, call it what you like, which is so useful, you cannot put it away.
Well, and I was taking a look at your book, and you wrote in your book, Gladio, the political system of the United States has a deceiving democratic and legal appearance on the surface, but in reality is now little different from any other dictatorial regime in the world. And you also said that the Gladio technique of undermining the state from within is far from over.
Yeah, absolutely. We see it here, unfortunately, in Italy quite regularly. We had the destruction of the underground trains in London, and a year before that, the atrocities performed upon the Madrid railway system. We had the long series of tragedies in Germany, the long German autumn, as it was called, in which many atrocities attributed to the Baader-Meinhof gang were in fact conspired and organized by Western intelligence. And let me tell you another trick which goes on here. Most people will know of the Baader-Meinhof gang, for example, and they probably may have heard, even in America, of the Red Brigades here in Italy.
Sure.
What they don't know is that these organizations were manipulated and controlled by Western intelligence. In other words, you've got a sleeper planted inside, shall we say, the Red Brigades, who would steer the Red Brigades into performing horrific and terrible acts. The Western intelligence sleepers would also tell the authorities what these gangs were up to. And, of course, the Western authorities but simply sit on their hands and look the other way and wait to reap the propaganda harvest. One thing we haven't mentioned yet, which is perhaps the headline episode of Gladio-type terrorism here in Italy, was the attack on Pope Paul John II. Now, as you say, you read my book, so you'll see what my conclusion there is. Mm-hmm. This was nothing whatsoever to do with the KGB. It was nothing whatsoever to do with the poor little Bulgarians. It was actually a conspiracy in order to show the KGB in the worst possible light, the Russians in the worst possible light, capable of killing one of their own, a Slav, of course, because Pope John Paul was Polish, a Slav, for simple propaganda gains in order to continue the Cold War.
Well, and that makes me think of the mass shootings. I'm sure that you're aware of the mass shootings recently in the United States. And there are a lot of discrepancies and bizarre accounts in both, you know, the movie theater shooting in Aurora, Colorado, and the Sandy Hook massacre in Connecticut. And I believe there is strong evidence that support a possible false flag event in both of those tragedies. We certainly know from history that our government is purely capable enough and evil enough to pull something like that off in order to take away even more of our liberties. And as you know, the Obama administration and the controlled media is pushing for strict gun control as a result of the shootings. Now, do you think that they are barbaric enough to kill innocent children as an excuse to attack our Second Amendment?
Yes. Will that do?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, straightforward, and you and me both. And, well, I agree with you. And, I think that this book, Gladio, is instrumental in waking people up. It is an excellent read, and you are certainly a gifted writer. I highly recommend that people out there pick it up and read it because, you know, it contains a wealth of information on not just only the series of savage terror attacks by NATO and the CIA in Europe during the last half of the 20th century, but it also includes insight on modern-day terrorism, what we were just talking about. And it is escalating, and it is carried out by the same corrupted individuals. Am I right?
Yeah. Well, think of the event on Utøya Island in Norway.
Yeah.
Possibly the worst Gladio-type massacre of recent times. I've no doubt that the alleged perpetrator, Breivik, is a patsy. This is something we also have to mention here, that in any Gladio terrorism, you must always come up with a patsy. These are the people that you can blame. If necessary, bring them up in court, stage show trials.
Or kill them.
You can prove to people that these folk really were responsible for these terrible deeds. It's always a patsy. There's always a Lee Harvey Oswald in this somewhere, a man with an ancient rifle sitting at the top of the Texas book depository can hit President Kennedy from an angle which I think even skilled sharpshooters would find very difficult indeed. So always you can find that intelligence organizations will find the patsies that they need in order to create the diversions which can then reap the harvest in turn of, as you say, culling our personal liberties, destroying our democratic societies, and continuing the warlike menace to our societies as a whole.
Well, and that's because it works every time, but fortunately there is a mass awakening going on right now, so, you know, more and more people are learning about this. And, you know, we're almost out of time. You know, I want to thank you once again for joining us. Any last thoughts before we go?
Well, what I found really in writing this book and talking to people and introducing them to the idea was a general mood of complacency. A lot of people would accept that what I was saying was correct, that I had produced the evidence and that it was overwhelming and condemned. But then you get the hands in the air thing. What can we do about it? This brings you to ask yourself, all of us, no matter where we live, how much can we trust the governments that we elect? How much can you trust the Congress of the United States of America? How much can the people of this country trust their parliament? Not very much. It's got 7% approval at the moment in the latest opinion poll. We have to change our attitudes away from militarism. This is basically the cause of all our problems.
Well, you know, and that's the thing. And you say that 7% approval rating. When are people going to wake up? Because 7% approval rating, yet the same politicians keep getting elected back into office.
It's a charm circle, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
it's
crazy.
They pay huge amounts of money, so they have every reason to continue the circus. I mean, we're watching the spectacle now of the tired old guy Berlusconi trying to become prime minister for the fourth time. There is some sign that this is not playing to the gallery of public opinion quite as he thought it would. It's a tired old guy who chases young underage girls. But the fact that he is still in the race, the fact that he can still run for office in this country, tells you what is wrong.
Well, that's right. Well, Richard Cottrell, we certainly appreciate your time. Hope to have you back on the program in the near future. Thank you for joining us today. All right, folks. Well, that was definitely an interesting conversation. Hey, don't forget that Gladio is available right now at InfoWarsShop.com. So I would highly recommend it. It's a great read. If you scan through my book, you could see I've got notes throughout the entire book. Look at this, Marcos. When I mark something up like this, that means that it's a good read, all right? Look at this. Boom, boom. Talks about the strategy of tension. He calls the United States the glorious Republic of Pentagonia. And anyway, it goes through, you know, it talks about the Kennedy assassination, modern-day terrorism. It's all in here. It's an excellent read, so definitely check it out. And that's going to do it for tonight's program. The InfoWars Nightly News will return, Lord willing, next Monday through Friday, 7 o'clock p.m. Central Time, Texas time, that is. So until then, have a blessed weekend. We'll see you back right here on Monday. Good night.